Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Pop Culture Rewind. I'm your host Travis.
This is Chris.
And thank you for tuning in once again. And I first want to start off by saying Happy New Year to everyone out there. 2018 is here. 2017, thankfully, is gone.
The sooner the better. Good yes. Fuck.
But there's one thing we did not do yet before the year ended, and that was
a Trump bashing episode.
Oh, there's plenty of those to go around. They don't need to hear it from us.
Okay, all right.
So,
since I didn't even vote.
Guy, Jesus. I'm part of the problem. Yeah, don't I know it. It's our annual tradition of our year-end reviews.
Really? I don't remember doing this last year with you.
You did.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. It's on there.
I drank too much.
It's yeah. It's on there. It's on the
archives.
Yeah, sure. Archives. Yeah. That's a nice word. Yeah. Archives. All right. So, we're going to talk just about a few things here. Movies, some TV shows that we watched.
Death.
We'll get there.
I didn't know we were going to talk about that until you just brought it up pre-tape. Like, hey, I got a list of everyone that kicked the bucket. Like, oh, great.
It's not as bad as 2016.
Okay.
So, there you go. That's that. Yeah. Okay. So, where do you want to start off first? Do you want to do TV shows, movies? What do you want to start off to recap?
I'm going to preface this with the audience. You,
yes,
being the flag bearer, the torch burner, the leader of Pop Culture Rewind.
Yes.
You watch a lot more shit than I do. So my lists are going to be very concise. Yours are going to be a lot more intricate.
Well, you probably have more of a life than I do.
Well,
maybe.
Not really.
Okay. Well, then I don't know what your excuse is. I was trying to
As
give
far
you
as TV the, shows,
yeah.
The only thing, if I had a TV show of the year by default, it would have to be, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I fucking love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I thought you were going to say Game of Thrones.
Eh.
The last season was pretty good.
It was good.
It was probably one of the best seasons, I think, altogether. The only shitty thing is that we have to wait till 2019 to finish it up.
But yeah, I kind of already knew what I was going to get with Game of Thrones. I wasn't expecting what I ended up getting with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay, let's talk about you know what? We'll talk about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but I got a couple of things I want to say about that. Real quick about Game of Thrones, we did get that, the way it ended with that huge cliffhanger with the White Walkers coming in, destroying
the wall,
yeah. And we got the infected dragon coming in and laying waste. What a cliffhanger to leave you on for a year and a half, right?
That's how it's done.
Right? We're talking to you, Walking Dead.
That's All right. Oh yeah, that's right. Oh, but speaking of which, why was not Walking Dead on the top of my list? I don't know if it's bad or good because I haven't seen any of it so far.
I think it's the way everybody's going with Walking Dead now. This last season, I've heard, you know, it used to be everybody loved Walking Dead, and then it was like 50-50. People would bash it, but they would, you know, people would counteract that in their debate. Now it's like almost all like negative bashing for Walking Dead because it's the same thing we've seen year in, year out. We did all of our recaps for the last season on our YouTube, and I put them on the audio too. But you asked me at the start of this season, I was like, do you want to do these Walking Dead episodes again?
Like,
I was like, no. And I think that was the issue. Like, everybody's just kind of like, well, we're watching it.
Just so we don't feel like the last 7 years have been wasted.
Yeah, it's like a war of attrition. You know, it's
just
like
end it already.
Yeah, please. Yeah. And we're at the halfway mark of the current season of Walking Dead. And
do you think they have anyone left after they kind of killed off Carl?
Oh, that was an interesting noise. Do they have anybody left? Well, I mean, as far as for people to care about.
Yeah.
Or
what's it gonna take, Daryl? Once Daryl's dead,
I think Daryl's,
the interest is gone.
Yeah, oh yeah. Once Daryl's gone, that shows they might as well. That should be the season finale, or this
you would,
finale.
So you would still want to watch it if Rick is dead, but Daryl's still alive.
Me, probably not. Well, yeah. No, I'd probably watch it, but if it got so bad, then I'm at the point right now. Like even you, I mean, you're like you just said, you just watched the mid-season finale, right?
Like half of it.
There you go.
So.
Yeah. It's like the same formula. They have like sometimes a strong opening, and then they'll have like four or five episodes of like filler and things like that, set up stuff, and then you have a big mid-season finale to leave you on that cliffhanger, and then they'll come back. And usually the episode that comes back from the break isn't even good anyways. Yeah. They always do that cliffhanger, and then when the first episode starts, it's like something totally different, and then you go back to what happened. It's the same formula, year in, year out.
So you just heard what I saw. You have a lot more free time. You have a lot more shows on your palette. You have the internet. So
internet helps. Yes.
Break down DC's efforts for the year. Is there anything that stands out for you on the DC side?
You know, I've dropped off of a lot of the CW stuff. We still watch Flash, but we dropped off of Arrow, and I barely even gave Supergirl a shot. Now we did watch the big crossover episode,
the Crisis X.
Yeah, and I did an episode on it by myself, which I wasn't. I was on a whim. Like, I just got done watching. I was like, I got some stuff to say. You know, I just hit record. I did it on my recliner. I was just I recorded it, uploaded it all on my phone.
Nice.
So that was fun. I might do more of those later on, just on random stuff. But if I get the itch for it, so. But I will say Gotham. I'm still watching Gotham.
Really?
And that was this last season. It was actually pretty good. They're
the kid already's trying out the Batman suit, right? Or something
that was
like
the,
it.
That was the funny thing. Like, that's how the season started. Was he had a mask and or not a blue mask, but a little ski mask type thing, and then a black outfit. And he was fighting crime for a couple of times, but then like they brought in Ra's al Ghul in the season, and that caused some issues with him. And then there was something that happened in that season, and or with that. What he did with them, and then he like went on this weird teenage angst type thing, rebelling against authority, which is Alfred. Mm-hmm. He brought in all these. He's hanging out with these friends, and he's partying, drinking. I guess having sex too. I'm not really sure.
Giggity.
But he's like 15 or 16. He's like acting like he's in his 20s. But
welcome to 2017.
I know, right? Millennials, go figure. Yeah. Other than that, I'm digging some of the stuff that they were dealing with the villains of the show. The villains of the show has always kind of been the stronger point, in my opinion, and which is good because Batman's always known for his rogues gallery of villains. So I'm still hanging in there. I'm still watching it.
Legends of Tomorrow.
I haven't watched any of that except for the
Crisis.
The Crisis thing, and which is funny because. There's no interest. And then we're watching I was watching the Crisis thing with my wife, and she was like, why'd we stop watching that? I was like, well, I didn't like it. And she's like, oh, okay. I couldn't remember why you stopped watching it. So I guess it was just, I guess we can still watch that again because it wasn't that bad to where she was like totally against watching the show.
We built up to the Defenders finally.
Well, I was going to tell you, which is funny because you mentioned Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. earlier.
Uh-huh.
We'll come back to run that, but for the Netflix stuff. There's a lot of Netflix
Marvel Iron stuff. Fist.
Okay. Oh. Here's what I was going to say. Marvel Netflix started low and ended high for the year. They started low with Iron Fist, which that was kind of hard to get through. The casting choice for Iron Fist himself,
it's a white guy.
Well, I don't know. Well, he's supposed to be white.
Okay.
That's the thing. That's a lot of the people online were bitching about. He's a white guy. He's supposed to be white. No, he's a white guy. That's the thing. He's not whitewashing.
Danny Rand White.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's not the problem. The actor himself, it's weird. It was fine up until like all the fight scenes came in, and then it's like the fight scenes sucked. And it's like, your show's Iron Fist with a lot of martial arts and fighting and combat and things like that. And man, that's where the show failed. I think the best fight scene in there was they're watching like a video archive thing of like an older Iron Fist, like beating the shit out of all these different guys. That was badass, and it was like for like 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, the chick that played what was her name? Connie, I can't remember. Anyway, she was good. I liked her. The villains of the show, I'm using air quotes because they weren't really villains. They're just kind of lame. They sucked. The whole show is kind of mundane all in general.
But we needed Iron Fist to get to Defenders.
Which yeah,
how was Defenders?
Did you watch it?
No. Spoil it. Go right ahead.
Well, it was weird, man. It's like, okay, they came out of Iron Fist, which was the lowest rated, lowest
Marvel thinking.
Marvel thing up until Inhumans, which that came out this year too, which totally sucks. We're not going to talk about it.
Poor Lockjaw.
But the thing is, Lockjaw is the best part of the show. The best thing is, or the thing about the Defender show, was it all revolved around Iron Fist. Like, the whole plot was about him. Like, his... the Iron Fist unlocks some kind of magical door to the mystical land or whatever. And I was like, okay, but you're going to have to, you know, you'll be interacting with the other Netflix Marvel characters, so it should be okay. And there were some good scenes. There were some really good scenes between Iron Fist and Luke Cage, which were really good. There's the restaurant scene that they showed on all the trailers, but they're all four sitting around kind of talking shit to each other. That was fun. There was some cool fight scenes. It is... it kind of wonky, like, towards the last half of the season, because his fist actually was a key. Like, they had to put his fist in this, like, in this wall, and it, like, opened up, and they fought inside, like, the bones of a huge dragon or something. I don't know. It got bizarre, and and it ended with Daredevil getting crumpled, like, a building came crumbling down on top of Daredevil. And that's how we end that season. Well, they pull out, apparently the last scene was, spoiler alert, Daredevil in a bed and I guess in a convent or something, and he's being healed up by nurses and, or nuns, so just we'll see where that goes. But
you said it ended on a high note, so that, I'm assuming you're talking about Punisher.
Punisher, that was the trifecta. It was Iron Fist, Defenders, and then Punisher.
Did the Las Vegas shooting affect your intake of this show?
No.
No?
No, I'm an adult of sound mind and judgment, where I know one is entertainment, and one is tragic, one is entertainment, and I can separate the two. The Punisher show is really good. It was really violent. It's fine with me.
At least that's the part of the character they got right.
Yeah.
You know, because that's part of this, yeah.
My only nit to pick on the whole season of Punisher was John Bernthal. Of course, we all know him. He played Shane on Walking Dead, that's where he got his notoriety from.
Yeah.
He had a lot of characteristics and tales and things like that he would do as Shane on Walking Dead. He brought a lot of that shit over to Punisher. And it was, like, really throwing me off. Like, I kept asking my wife, I was like, is he channeling Shane? Mm-hmm. Is this, like, a prequel to Walking Dead or something? I don't know. It was weird. Like, I kept picturing Shane and not Frank
Which
Castle.
Is weird because Shane hasn't been on Walking Dead for at least 4 seasons.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, he got killed off in 2.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, man, it was just... That was the only weird part for me because it wasn't like that. I've seen John Bernthal in lots of stuff other than...
He's on Baby Driver. We'll get to.
He's on Baby Driver. He was in Snitch with Dwayne Johnson.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, I've seen him. I never get that vibe of Shane in his stuff. Even as Punisher in the Daredevil season 2, I didn't get that vibe that it was Shane. But this one, the way he was just playing it off, it was so very reminded me of Shane for some reason. But other than that, I really enjoyed Punisher. And like I said, I thought they made Netflix Marvel end on a high note for the year.
Okay.
So,
anything else that Netflix had to offer besides Marvel?
Yes, actually. There was a show. Actually, this came out this a couple weeks ago. The Toys That Made Us.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody knows me, if you see our Instagram page, I'm a child of the 80s, so I grew up in everything that they're talking about in this show, which is kind of cool because there's only 4 episodes, and the next 4 is going to be released in a couple months from now. But they talk about the first episode is about Star Wars toys from the 70s, and then they go on about G.I. Joe and He-Man. They did have a Barbie episode. I did not watch that because
you're a straight man.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yes. But they were really, really fun. And what they did in all these episodes. So if you're in your 30s like me, you probably grew up in all this stuff. Go check it out. It's The Toys That Made Us. It's really cool. What they do is they like reenact like the pitch meetings and how they came about. And it's pretty cool stuff. I'm going to segue for a second here because this show reminded me of another show that I really got a kick out of. It was on AMC. It was Robert Kirkman's History of Superheroes or something. I can't remember the name of the show. I think this is called Robert Kirkman Superheroes.
I don't remember.
History of the Heroes or something. Anyway, it was the same premise, pretty much. It was every episode they would focus on the creation of certain characters. Like, they did an episode about how Superman got created. And they would reenact the creators, like, as kids, like, coming up with the ideas and then them growing up and taking them to DC and then suing them and blah, blah, blah. And everything. Mm-hmm. So they had, like, they did that one. They did the history of Marvel with Stan Lee and all that. And some of them are, like, animated. Some of them are, like, reenacted with live actors. So it's actually pretty cool. So that series ended. And then on the last episode, they did, like, a preview of another series coming out. Instead of Robert Kirkman, now it's James Cameron's sci-fi world. So they're going to be talking about, like, different sci-fi movies. And that's going to be... I'm looking forward to that. So, anyway, going back to Netflix, The Toys That Made Us was one. I said last year that Voltron, Legendary Defender...
Season 1 ended on a high note.
It was, like, it was season, like, 1 and 2, I think. And then...
Yeah.
But this year, 2017, they broke it up into, like, smaller things to get, like, season 3 and 4 or season 2 and 3. I can't remember what numbers, because they broke it up weird.
Mm-hmm.
But the stories are so good in that. Like, I know it's Voltron, but, I mean, it's fucking Voltron.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, 80s. You know, if you grew up with it, it's great. Even if you didn't never watched Voltron before, I would still definitely recommend it. Just because the storytelling is so good in that show. And it isn't really... There's some episodes I don't even worry about Voltron. It's just story-based about the characters. So...
Talk to me about this show that you got that you were watching towards the end of last year that involved Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine.
Yes, The Defiant Ones. That was in 2017. That is a 4-part miniseries. I think I described it to you as a compliment or a companion piece to Straight Outta Compton.
Mm-hmm.
This is a documentary, and it's focusing. It goes back and it interweaves Dr. Dre's career and Jimmy Iovine. Well, who's Jimmy Iovine? Jimmy Iovine is basically the creator or owner of Interscope Records.
Mm-hmm.
And if you grew up in the 90s,
he had his hand in a lot
there
of
shit. Is a who's who of rap artists, just rock grunge, everybody had their hand at Interscope at some point in time. So when you get to, like, episode 3 and it gets into the 90s stuff, that I can't explain. I can't describe how cool that episode is, because there's so much. There's interviews with like Gwen Stefani, Marilyn Manson. They even talked to Primus at one point. There's, like, different bands that just go on and talk to them about. So going back to the 80s, they're talking to, like, Bruce Springsteen and things like that. So it goes, like, through 80s, 90s, and to current stuff. So it's really cool. And they talk about that one album that Dr. Dre was going to do. It was after Chronic 2000, whatever, and he was going to do another album after
that. Detox?
Yeah, Detox.
Yeah.
They talk about that. Like, what happened with that?
And I know, because they have there's one song that was released, like, a couple of years ago called I Need a Doctor with Eminem and Dr. Dre and Skylar Grey. And they were supposed to release that album, and then, like, a year and a half later, they released, like, the soundtrack to Compton.
Yeah.
Or that's what it was called. And it was just a typical rap album in 2016, 17, where half of it's just nothing but collaborations with everybody. Yeah. And I always wonder, like, what the fuck happened with Detox?
Yeah, so they talk about that. And it kind of bookends on from part one all the way to into the part four. The bookends on Beats by Dre.
So selling his Beats by Dre to Apple,
how,
and all that?
Like, where he was at when they recorded that, and then how they got to that. So it's actually really cool. I don't normally buy documentaries. I bought that shit. Well, I asked for it for Christmas. And I got it for Christmas.
Yeah,
Christmas. So but the thing is, I own it. It's in my collection now. So, but there's real quick. There's two more things from Netflix that I would say I would recommend that I saw in 2017. One was Glow.
Mm-hmm.
The women's wrestling from the 80s. They kind of dramatized.
They retold the story that Bob Lowe came about. Yeah.
So that was really good. And
that's
also
a who's who of, like, Where's Waldo, as far as if you're a wrestling fan. There's some current wrestlers. Yeah. There's a lot of cameos in there.
Yeah. And then also one more, Stranger Things, season 2.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Did they kill the Demigorgon?
I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, fuck.
You got to watch it.
I don't even watch it. I don't even know how I know what that is. I just know that that's from Stranger Things.
Yeah, so...
I still have season one on my computer. I just haven't made time to
you
watch it.
You son of a bitch.
I know.
So, but that was, I mean, it was a pretty busy year for TV shows. That was just for Netflix. I tried to watch that new Star Trek show, Star Trek Discovery. Because CBS has an app now, too. And oh, that was their hook for you to download that app and subscribe for $5.99 or $4.99 or whatever.
Really?
Yeah.
You have to pay?
Yeah. So I watched like the first part of the... It was like a two-parter opening. I watched like the first hour of it, and I was like, eh, okay. I mean, it's Star Trek. And we haven't had a Star Trek TV show in like, what, 10, 11 years or something like that? So...
Oh, really? Because there was one that I was starting to like. The Orville. first, like, 4 or 5 episodes I really liked. And I guess when they switched it from Sunday to, was it either Tuesday or Thursday? That's remember. When I couldn't watch it. Like, yeah. The Sundays, I would be watching it every, like, those first 5 episodes. I saw them, like, in the moment. And it was actually refreshing. It felt less of a spoof of Star Trek and more like... his like heartfelt tribute to what right. Star Trek The Next Generation would have been. And I liked it, and I plan on making the effort to try to watch the rest of that first season.
And I agree with you on that too, because when I heard about it and I saw in the trailers for it, I thought it was a parody
the first thing you hear when you hear Seth MacFarlane's name, you hear him, he's going to add his like Family Guy flavor or his kind of humor to it.
I thought that's what it was going to be.
Yeah.
And then I was watching the first episode and we're done with, I looked at my wife, I was like, actually wasn't a spoof. I mean, yeah. It was actually pretty decent. It was not a sitcom version, but it was a sci-fi, but with comedy in it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but not like stupid Family Guy comedy. There's, right. It's tamer for a more general audience. And it even had situations that would apply now that you wouldn't have thought applied in the older version of Generation. For example, the Orville's second in command is actually the ex-wife.
Yeah.
And they deal with struggles like that throughout those first few episodes that I noticed, and it actually hooked me. And I was surprised because a lot of stuff that Seth MacFarlane does, it takes a while mm-hmm. for you to get into. And from this first episode of Orville, it had me.
Yeah,
I was like, all right, what's next? And then the next episode played where they're stuck in what they thought was their apartment from when they were married, and it turns out that they're in this huge zoo.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like a ripoff of Valerian of the City of a Thousand Planets, yeah. where they had all kinds of different races. I was like, all right, you got me. What's the next episode? And then like the one alien actually, the dude alien gave birth.
Yeah,
and he's like trying to hatch the eggs. Like, all right, motherfucker, you got me. What's the next one? Oh, we're switching to Thursdays. Oh, you motherfuckers. That's oh. Yeah. So Orville, I'm not really a space guy. I mean, Star Wars, obviously, because I grew up on that, and I was never a big Star Trek guy.
Yeah.
But Orville's starting to turn me around.
Okay. Now, we kind of started this segment talking about Marvel. I want to end it on Marvel, too, because a couple things. I checked out this new show on Hulu, The Runaways.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about The Runaways.
Okay, I know of the comic.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I know of the comic is that was originally where they introduced X-23. Mm-hmm. That was originally when she debuted it. It has nothing to do with anything else, but that's just all I know. So I never read an issue. I just know of it. So when I watched it, at first I was going to watch it because I have a bunch of teenagers and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm.
They did with fucking Archie, right?
I'm not going to be interested. That's actually not so bad, the Riverdale. So, but anyway, that's another story.
Yeah.
But I started watching Runaways, and we were hooked pretty much the first episode. I was like, oh, wow, okay, this is actually pretty decent. The has a really good cast. Like, the kids aren't overplayed or anything. They do what they need to do, and there's just enough of, like, the comic book flair mm-hmm. to get you. There's the sci-fi, like, one episode we'll see that this one kid has powers, or this, in another episode they'll show there's some kind of, like, they have... some kind of piece of technology or something that they can help with. So stuff like that. And this one chick can mind read a dinosaur. So go figure, right? So there's that. And also another new show that came out for Marvel this year was The Gifted.
Mm-hmm.
Which at first I was like, okay, it's an X-Men TV show. Awesome. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. It's by Bryan Singer in the X-Men universe.
Do you remember X-3?
I remember, well, that too, but I was like, it's not going to, they're going to reference a lot of shit, but it's not going to have anything to do with it. And then I started seeing the promos for it, and I was like, I'm not going to like this, because it's, I don't know, it just felt like it was going to be its own stupid thing, but they were going to mention a few things here and there to say, hey, we're in the same universe. So, but I watched it on a whim, because I'm a nerd, so that's what I do. And it's actually pretty good. That's one of the few shows that it's, like, guaranteed viewing, that required viewing, that me and my wife do. So, and there is enough winks and nods to X-Men fans to make it passable, you know? And so I enjoy it. There's yeah, a few cameos. I'll mention a name here and there. I was like, oh, shit, that's what, okay, so... Yeah,
the only thing that keeps me away from stuff like that is that I feel like at some point, even if I'm not much of a DC guy, so even as just Marvel, I feel like there's too much oversaturation. We started the year with Legion, right, on FX?
Yes.
And then we had the Runaways, and now we have the Gifted. Already, those are three TV shows that are on television, and then you're gonna bring out the New Mutants next year, and then you've already got X-Men on a brand new cast of X-Men, and I was like, God damn.
Well, don't do it all at once. That's the key. Yeah. Just enough to get you
to the next one.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. Yeah. So, I think that's all for the TV side of things.
I have one suggestion. I was gonna bounce this off earlier when you were talking about the Dr. Dre and Jimmy Iovine. A week ago or a week and a half ago, Apple Music actually aired a documentary on Fox on a Friday night, I think. And it was Bad Boys 20th anniversary.
Like the movie Bad Boys?
No.
Oh.
Bad Boy Records.
Oh,
so
okay.
it was the crux of the movie was preparing for the 20th anniversary tour. Big show.
Right.
Which all bad boys. So it's Puff Daddy, Mace, 311, not 311, 112, Faith Evans, Lil' Kim, The Lox, all that stuff. But it documented from the beginning where Sean Puffy Combs grew up how he like wanted to not be poor and how he got his first break in the record label business.
So it's the East Coast version.
Yeah, it's East Coast version of Straight Outta Compton where he met Christopher Wallace, B.I.G.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, a lot of reactions for people in the moment that were there when B.I.G. got shot. And their reaction when Tupac first got shot. And they're like, all of a sudden, two people created this entire East Coast, West Coast. And he went to California to try to mend everything.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when he got popped. And just the coping of everything afterwards, and Faith Evans and Lil' Kim were both had relationships with Big when they hadn't had communicated since, but they're going to be touring together. And it just, there's a lot going on. And if you like the documentary you're talking about called?
The Defiant Ones.
If you like The Defiant Ones, if you like the Straight Outta Compton movie, go out of your way they aired it on Fox, but it's from Apple Music, and they were advertising an unedited version. So there's more to it than what they aired on television, obviously. I'd suggest checking it out.
But you liked it. You watched it.
I liked it, yeah.
Okay, because you know a movie that came out was All Eyes on Me, the Tupac story.
I still have not seen it.
And people just like shit all over that.
I have not seen it, and I'm afraid to see it.
With all the reviews, I'm probably not going to watch it. But I think it's funny that they released Straight Outta Compton, and then they try to follow up on the coattails of that with All Eyes on Me.
Mm-hmm.
They got a guy that looks just like Tupac. It's uncanny how much he looks like him.
I would have been more interested if it was a direct sequel or a spinoff, and it had the same guy that played Tupac in Straight Outta Compton, and it had most of the same people.
Right.
Hell, if they started off with the guy that played Dr. Dre and him having a secondary role, like a supporting actor guy instead of being the lead, but still having recognized faces to where, oh, this feels like Straight Outta Compton, not like the Cloverfield sequel, which was like... completely different. That John Goodman and a whole bunch of people that had nothing to do with that you would have never recognized from the first movie because they weren't in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think I don't see myself seeing All Eyes on Me. I don't want to ruin what I think of Straight Out of Compton by watching it. So I'll just leave it alone.
This is funny that this day and age we still have the East Coast West Coast competition there.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else for the TV shows?
No, that's it.
Okay. So moving right along. Hey, what about, like on your t-shirt, video games?
Man.
What were some good video games that you played this year? What came out this year that was really... any new systems that came out?
Well, technically, the Switch came out in 2016, but everybody, I take my Switch wherever I go, and I'm always hearing the same response of, "Oh, I need to get one. Oh, I need to get one." And then months later, dude, guess what I got? Ah, oh, fuck. Exhibit A, Travis.
I got a Switch.
You love yours, don't you?
Well, you know, I got it, and I had the Legend of Zelda game for it, which the game is just beautiful by itself. But I found in my old age here that I just don't have the time or the patience.
Patience
is the keyword. To run around for 30 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
to try to do certain things. And I was actually on the verge of maybe trying to sell off my Switch or something, or because I wasn't. It went on a couple months without even being used. Mm-hmm. And then Christmas came along.
Mm-hmm.
And my lovely wife got me Super Mario Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
That game's fun.
Yeah?
Yeah. If you haven't played Odyssey yet, go check it out. If you're a Mario fan, the last good Mario game I played was Galaxy for the Wii. So I missed out on Wii U and even Galaxy 2. I don't think I played that one. But
you never played Galaxy 2 when you're riding around with Yoshi?
Maybe. I can't remember since so long now. But there's a lot of homages and winks and nods to past Zelda or Mario games.
Yeah.
That it's just fun. And unlike Zelda, this game is something you can just pick up and start playing. You don't have to worry about, you know, traveling long distances or powering up.
You go right to it.
Powering up,
and you have shortcuts on the map you could just fly back to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's quick and fun. It's not too difficult. I mean, I've already beat the game, but I mean, it's
it took you a week and a half.
Yeah, but it's still, I mean, it's fun. Like, it's just a fun game. And I'm still going back in there and just like getting all the stuff I missed and all the rewards and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely, probably one of the best Mario games I've played, just in general. So.
I haven't made much of an effort to play new games this year from start to finish because, again, the problem of me not having internet in my place, the Xbox One that I rebought to replace the one that I had stolen when my
partner got broken into. Did you buy that for a certain reason?
I did. Yes. I bought it because I wanted to get my hands on Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite. I downloaded the demo, and it was... I don't want to say it was so bad. It was not what I was expecting. It was not what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
Especially when the rumor started coming to fruition that Disney were only going to focus on the intellectual properties that they themselves own.
Right.
So there's no Wolverine, there's no X-Men, there's no Deadpool, who was added in Marvel Capcom 3, who's easily one of the fan favorites, even before Ryan Reynolds finally got the movie out 2 years ago.
Yeah, movie-wise, besides that...
Deadpool's got a huge
comic, yeah, comic book and video games and stuff like that. Deadpool's always been popular. Yeah.
And the roster was really lacking. There wasn't a lot of characters. The graphics felt like you're playing a mobile game on a big screen.
Yeah.
And there was even lag on a lot of the motion controls.
So two thumbs down, one thumbs up.
One thumb down, one thumb like in the middle. They're adding some DLC. I mean, they just had Venom. So if you played Marvel Capcom 2 or the older ones, Venom's got the same fight technique. Mm. His voice might be a little bit out there, but you're slowly starting to see some classic characterization. I haven't had a chance. The demo didn't let you pick who you wanted. It just let you play through a little bit of the storyline.
Yeah.
I'm hoping Black Panther has a little bit of the Wolverine or X-23 characteristics instead of the adamantium claws. It's just his nails, but you can do a lot of the same moves.
I'll see why not.
Hopefully. Mm-hmm. We had this conversation on a podcast a couple of weeks ago. As soon as Disney bought up Fox's rights to 20th Century, they need to make some DLC characters like Yesterday. They need to have at least Wolverine, maybe Cable, Deadpool, a couple other guys from the X-Men universe. Especially if they're going to pull the pages out of the X-Men from the movies that are going on right now from the First Class age.
Yeah,
you know, hell, Apocalypse could be a pretty good villain for a future Marvel vs. Capcom game. You know,
just like they have the models for him already. They used them before.
Yeah.
I was interested in playing that game, and then I started seeing stuff, and I was hearing reviews, and I was like, maybe this isn't.
This is the first time in a while where NetherRealm blow him out the water. Injustice 2 is fun as shit.
Yeah, it is.
I've been playing it with my nephew, and he got me hooked on it pretty quick. So when told me that you got it, and I was like, "Yeah, you're gonna love it." And I was watching you, and I was like, "Yeah."
because I enjoyed the first Injustice game, and the second one, I didn't buy it originally. I was gonna wait for the game of the year
because you're smart. You're not gonna buy a game twice to get everything you need.
Right? Yeah. But anyway, I got it for Christmas. So so I was checking it out, and at first I was kind of thrown off by some of the character models because I thought they looked kind of weird.
Joker, for example.
He looks like a cosplayer as Joker, but
maybe that's part of the story. Did you finish the story because you were playing it? Is that Jason Todd?
No.
No.
The only time he shows up in the story mode is Scarecrow does the fear gas to Harley, and that's when she sees him.
Oh, okay.
That's it. So that's her vision of Joker.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Okay.
But yeah, man, the story mode just in general, the graphics, I kind of talked about the character models, but once I was watching it, the face models and everything look so real, so good. I was like, man, this is a beautiful game. Like,
the part that got my attention the most was the attention to detail, as in before the matches even start, the one-liners fit each other's roles that if you're attentive to the DC verse, you would get the references they're doing to each other.
And that's not just in story mode. That's
in general. Yeah. So if it's freaking Batman versus Superman, you're going to hear banter and bickering between the two that they're only going to have with those two. It's not programmed for everybody on the.
Some of them are designed for the game story mode that goes back to Injustice 1, but some of them are just banter between the two. Yeah. So it's fun. The game mechanics are just as similar as the first Injustice game. And right now, what I'm doing is I'm just getting points so I can unlock different
outfits.
Yeah, outfits and stuff. So,
Is there any DLC that's getting your attention? They've added out. And that's the other part that really gets people's attention as far as NetherRealm, because they'll add people that you would have never fucking guessed.
Like Ninja Turtles and Hellboy?
Yeah. I was going to start with Freddy Krueger and Jason and Predator from previous entities. But yeah, now obviously fucking Hellboy and the whole Ninja Turtles is a set. And they added Raiden this time. They have Sub-Zero, but they already have Captain Cold and somebody else that does ice shit.
My only thing is, it kind of frustrates me because you pay $6 for a game, and I can understand if it's, you gotta pay money to get new content and everything, but I haven't bought any of the download stuff, like the DLC, I haven't got any of that. And
$20 a pop, or $40 for all three of them together.
Yeah, or you can buy the character for $6 a pop.
Oh, shit.
But here's the thing, dude, I was playing just like the multiverse thing, where it's just like, they randomly give you like 8 opponents or 5 opponents, whatever. And some of my opponents were the DLC guys.
Yeah, so there's no excuse.
It's in the game.
It's already on the disc.
Yeah. It's bullshit. It's like, I should have, you know, that's, yeah. Didn't Capcom get in trouble for that a few years ago with Street Fighter or something?
I think it was either Street Fighter Cross Tekken or
Street Fighter Cross Tekken,
where they already had, the day one when you buy the game, there's already gaps for like hidden people that were already on the disc.
Right.
So it's not DLC of the fuckers already on the disc. You don't have to download it. You're paying to have access to unlock it, which
it's PLC.
Bait and switch. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
That's what keeps me from buying fighter games now. Even before, like, I've loved Marvel Capcom 3 so much. I pre-ordered it before it came out so that I can get the two extra characters, which was Jill Valentine and Shuma Gorath. And I had it because I knew I was going to play it for months.
Right.
Endless. Like, I forgot I was married for a while. So I knew, but back then it wasn't, fighting games didn't come out as frequent for you to think, to have the mentality we have now where I'm not going to buy Street Fighter 4 because there's going to be 18 different versions of it to come out. And then by the time Street Fighter 5 comes out, you can go to like fucking Big Lots and for $15, you can buy the Super Duper Ultimate Arcade Package Edition that has all the DLCs and shit.
But it's another thing is now, back then, what you're talking about, you didn't have season passes that were $40 or $50, you know.
On top of paying $65 for the game already.
Yeah, you're paying over $100 for
it. Or you're going triple digits if you want a special edition, which are basically fucking Easter eggs that are different colored and like harder plastic. Those are your Infinity Stones. Like, oh my God, what the fuck? I could have gotten this at fucking Arnie's. Actually.
So it's just a matter of...
taste?
Well, that too. But, you know, priorities and investments and, you know, money-wise, I mean, it's like how much is it worth to play the game? So $60 is enough as it is, much less another $40, $50.
I think now that the Ultimate Edition for Injustice 2 is already out with all the DLC already added, for $40-$50, even at retail for $60, to have everything already, I think I'm actually going to bite the bullet before picking up Marvel Capcom Infinite. I'm buying this Injustice 2.
Well, the Injustice game isn't... You have like a special edition, deluxe edition, but it's not a game of the year edition or ultimate edition.
I think the deluxe edition's got everything already. I checked the listing on GameStop, and it had all three of the DLCs.
I don't know. That was kind of confusing when we were looking at it the last time. But the only... okay, so as far as video games go, before we move on...
You rented Street Fighter V from Redbox.
Was that this year?
Early in the year, and you weren't really digging it either.
Yeah. Well, because there's no... What was it? It was like online only or some shit.
There was no story mode where you can just play to beat and get to the boss and win.
Something like
right?
that. And plus with Street Fighter, it was like more of the same. Like nothing new. It was just, I've played this before.
The only counter to that are the people that grew up on that franchise are going to complain if those same people aren't in it.
Oh, yeah. Well, so it's like
it's
any.
It's hard, yeah.
I did want to say, as far as video games go, Mass Effect Andromeda.
You were looking forward to this because you've been a Mass Effect guy for years. You've already got your Shepard from all three of the games, and you were ready for Andromeda. You were hyped. You pre-ordered.
Yeah.
You brought it home. You were off for a couple of days.
I updated my Xbox to the S model.
So you can get the 1080p. Yeah,
Jesus,
to get the 4K.
Fucking Christ.
First word that came out of your mouth when you started playing this.
Jesus fucking Christ.
In a positive or a negative?
In a negative.
Go for it.
It was just... there was no excuse... I don't care if it was a different studio or whatever the back behind the scenes deal was. There is no excuse as a consumer for me to come off of Mass Effect 3 with the one of the most beautiful games I've played. The graphics were incredible in that thing. Story was incredible.
Is that
the
in
gameplay.
Your top five of all the time for you personally?
Maybe the Mass Effect series, but Mass Effect 2 and 3 are up there for sure.
Okay.
But you're coming off that high of that game. Most anticipated release, I would think, in a while for any game, just in general, Andromeda. And man, they shit the bed. Because what it was, behind the scenes stuff, it was a different studio within EA that was making this game. And it didn't have the original story writers of the past trilogy. It was like new.
So this is like Dragon Ball GT compared to the original.
Yeah. Yeah. But man, it was just so bad. Like, I've never had a game where I was relying on the patches to come in
to fix.
Because it wasn't just there's a lot of animation issues, graphics, but it's also glitchy. I mean, there's some just glitchy stuff that would happen. Like, I would be, like, facing the wrong direction, or the camera angle would be off, or something. It was just weird shit that was going on. It wasn't a finished game. They sold an unfinished product. And I wouldn't be surprised if there would be some... I'm kind of joking when I say this, but I'm kind of serious. I wouldn't be surprised if there was some kind of class action lawsuit or something. Because you pay $60 for a game.
That's the one complaint that I don't think I've ever had with Nintendo. They would rather push a date back just to make sure that what you get is worth every penny you get, as opposed to when you have big-time publishers like Activision and EA, where, all right, we need to make the deadline because otherwise our whole schedule of sales are fucked, so we need to just do it.
Yeah.
Do it. And shit. Was this year also the year of this? I forgot the name, but I know you. I remember you talking about it. It's a game where it's online only, and you jump to all these other planets.
Oh,
was that
No Man's No Man's Sky or fucking,
No Man's Sky?
Something. Something. No Man's Sky.
Was that this year?
If it wasn't this year, it was last year. It was probably last year. But yeah, that was a flop.
Like, it was cool for like a week.
Yeah. Well, that was another thing where the developers out and out lied about what they were selling. Because people were thinking they knew it was an online game, but we were under the impression that you'd be able to at least interact at some point, at some time. They kept saying it was so vast and so massive that you'll really never bump into anybody. Well, that actually happened. And you couldn't even interact with someone else.
Wow.
So you're literally just going planet to planet, and just that's it. So anyway, I don't think that was 2017.
Okay.
So that was our video game talk. Now,
let me round out the video games talk. Then my best investment this of 2017 was the same best investment from 2016.
What was
that? The SNES Classic.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah, man, you can't.
Wait, that was your best purchase? Didn't you say you never play it?
Oh, I play it. Not as often as the NES one. I mean, I play it more often than the NES one.
Yeah, because the NES, you said you weren't playing it.
I had it. Because I didn't get it at the moment. I got it like later on. I actually got it in 2017 also because of the delay of the shipping. I got in line and got an SNES like nothing without having to overpay or anything that day. So I didn't sleep that night. I just stayed up playing Mega Man X and everything on a nice, pretty little 1080 screen, even though it wasn't completely full. It's fun, dude.
Well, so. By the time the fiasco of the NES Classic, and then when they started announcing the SNES, I was like, I'm done with that. And then you got it, and then you brought it over, and I played it for a weekend or something.
Yeah, I let you babysit it.
Yeah, and I played it. I got you some save games in there, and I was like, okay, I wouldn't pay $80 for it, but that's just me.
How about the N64 Mini?
Depends what games are on it. If that's actually
Does GoldenEye make it an insta buy?
No. I don't know what would make that one. It's been so long since I even looked at any Super or 64 games. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, man. And then, like I said, the whole creating the supply and demand effect that just it rubs me the wrong way, and it turns me off of buying anything as far as that goes.
Makes sense.
Yeah, but okay. So before we wrap up with our movie talk, you know, people passed away this past year.
No.
Hey, look, it's not as bad as 2016. It's actually fairly short. But there were some actually pretty decent musicians that we lost this year.
Tom Petty.
Tom Petty was the big one, man. That was mine. Malcolm Young from AC/DC. Chester from Linkin Park.
Dude, that one still stings, bro.
Yeah.
God damn.
What about Chris Cornell? That one shocked me more than anything.
I think Chester's a byproduct of Chris Cornell.
Yeah, I think everybody, that's...
If you don't have one, the other one probably didn't happen.
Which is Chris Cornell. Like
If Chris didn't pass away the way he did, Chester wouldn't have passed away at all, let alone the way he did.
Do they have a history with each other or something?
Chester is the godfather of Chris Cornell's kids.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, he did a bad job as godfather.
Shit.
Is that the point?
Yeah, technically. I'm not the kind of person that should say it's still too soon because I do dumb fuck like shit like that all the time. But goddamn, that was too soon.
I'm just saying, if you're a godfather,
yeah, you had one job,
and you can't give me shit. I've heard you say some.
I know.
Nasty
I couldn't
shit.
Even finish that sentence without going. Goddamn, my name is Chris, and I'm a hypocrite.
Also, Chuck Berry, he passed away.
Oh, man.
Anyway, okay, so as far as actors go, there's quite a few, but the ones that kind of hit me was Bill Paxton, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Paxton was a big one. Adam West, that was another big one. I'm also going to say, he's not, I guess, a really well-known actor, but Powers Booth. He does a lot of voice acting, and I don't know, I always get a kick of what stuff he's in. Charlie Murphy.
Nah.
I think it's what everybody knows him from. Dave Chappelle show. Jerry Lewis passed away. People's Court Judge Wapner, he passed away.
Really?
Yeah. He's like the first TV court judge. Yeah. Those are some of the. See, that wasn't so bad as far as compared to last year. Man, last year...
We could go worse if you want to run down the list of everybody that's been labeled a sex offender this year in Hollywood.
Fuck. No, we don't got that much time.
No?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's it.
Poor Louis C.K., dude. I know you're a big fan of Louis C.K., but yeah, it's not innocent until proven guilty anymore. It's you're fucked until you're innocent.
Yeah.
You know, because all of a sudden, like, his existence doesn't matter. Like, they wiped off everything that even Netflix... Is it Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix.
The money that Netflix invested to make this Louis C.K. special, and already that's like off the table.
Right.
You know? God, fuck.
That wasn't Kevin Spacey? That was one name that I left off my list was Men in Hollywood.
Men in Hollywood? Yeah. It's
They're all dead.
We're all, yeah. Yeah.
Fucking California.
I know, man. La La Land.
No kidding. In more ways than one. All right. So, let's talk about movies.
Finally,
this is our end of the high note here.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
So, how do you want to do this? Because I got my list of movies.
So, like I prefaced in the beginning, you being a bigger buff in the pop culture universe than I am,
yeah.
I have a top five okay. of my of movies. You have a top 10. I have a top 3 of the worst movies of the year. You mm-hmm. probably have more than that. I have a list of maybe 3 or 4 movies that I wish I saw mm-hmm. that I didn't get to, that hopefully I'll start knocking them out this year. And then we have a shit ton of movies that we're looking forward to in 2018, but I whittled my list to like 5.
Yeah.
So since you have the longer list, why don't you hit me up with number 10? Well, you want to start with the best or the worst?
We'll do the best. Okay. Let's knock out the best. I think I made a list of all the movies I watched this year. Over 30 movies.
Are you proud of me? I watched 19.
That's actually pretty good for you.
That's actually really good for
me. You've been hanging around me too much.
We've seen half of these together.
It's like when you're with Scott, you drink more. When you're with me, you watch movies more.
I'll watch movies more. Yeah. That's a bad mix.
Or a really good mix.
Yeah, depending which movie.
Yeah. So
number 10.
All right. My number 10 best movie of the year. I'm going to say Justice League.
Okay. So
it made my top 10 only because there's some better movies that came out before that, but I was so pleasantly surprised that I liked that movie so much.
Is it fair to say because the bar was like so far underground that it was easy for you to be pleased?
It exceeded my expectations.
Okay.
Like there were some other movies that I really liked. And then I was kind of done with it, you know. But Justice League, I watched the movie. I was like, oh, that was really good. I think I want to go see it again.
Defend the first 30 seconds.
That's why it's number 10.
that's a good defense. We talked about this in a recent podcast where the first 30 seconds did more for Superman than either of the last two appearances of him as far as setting his moral standards
superhero. Yeah, and that was the reason why
he looked horrible as fuck.
Yeah,
and but the message came across.
That's the reason it's number 10 on my list mm-hmm. because there were so many things going into that movie that I could not get it out of the back of my mind as I'm watching the movie. And the first thing you see, bam, right on the middle of the screen is this weird non-face thing that he has. I don't know what's going on. There's some stuff like that, and then you know the thing with the directors going in and out, and the pacing is kind of weird, but anyway, so
Batman smiles.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy. But this is one of those things where overall, dude, I got the fucking Justice League fighting on the same screen at the same time in the big huge battle.
It felt like the Justice League.
Yes,
it did.
Yeah, it felt like what it should have felt like, and for that made my top 10 list.
Does like the second half of Superman Doomsday? Did that kind of interfere in the whole Justice League vibe, or was that what it needed for you to have a good Justice League?
You mean Superman Doomsday?
So
you're talking about when he comes back.
Yeah,
to
when he comes back to life.
I thought it was weird. I thought the weirdest part of that whole movie for me was Flash and Cyborg, Gray Robin, Clark Kent's body. That was so weird. It was so weird. And they weren't even doing it fast.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It's like Flash would have done it so fast, you wouldn't have even noticed. Like it should have been like a direct... That should have been like a deleted scene, not like an entire 10 minutes.
Yeah. And then they had to drop him in the spaceship, and then they had to time the touching of the cube and the thing. And okay.
Just to get Bizarro instead of Superman.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been a nice byproduct, but I mean, it was weird. It was weird, but... I can live with it.
With all that, yeah. Still, there were enough positives to outweigh the biggest negative, which was Warner Brothers' entire history up to this point in this recent DC universe.
Yeah.
Asterisk Wonder Woman, which we'll probably get to later.
And we still got, I mean, yeah. The cast, I was thoroughly impressed with, of course, you know, Gal Gadot still kicks it as Wonder Woman.
Mm.
Ben Affleck, I didn't have a problem with him in this movie. I think he did a good job. I was left intrigued by Jason Momoa's Aquaman. I want to see where now I'm anticipating the Aquaman movie. I didn't,
who would have ever said that?
I know, right?
Ever.
Me. I didn't really care too much for
Cyborg.
No, Ezra Miller as Flash, only because all his one-liners are in the trailers. Mm-hmm. And so all we're left was with okay, he's comic relief, whatever. But the Cyborg, I was actually impressed with him. Like Ray Fisher, he played it. There was a underperformance level of he was some monotone, but he was She's supposed to be. That was the character. And it worked so well. And I was like, huh, okay. It left me interested. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, everybody play their part. We got Superman in a brighter blue and red costume talking about fighting for truth and justice. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could see DC going... Oh, the fucking... Amazon keep away from Steppenwolf. Mm-hmm. That was a fucking fun scene with them trying to keep away. We got the Easter eggs of Green Lantern in there, mm-hmm. and some other Easter egg stuff. Now I find out afterwards there's a petition online to get the Zack Snyder cut
that doesn't exist.
But some of the stuff that was cut from this movie, it was rearranged in a more fluid way.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually saw Darkseid. Like, Darkseid was actually in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's why a lot of people were wanting this cut of this movie. But, like I said, it was never finished.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that screened the movie before it even came out, they saw some rough
animations?
There you go. For Darkseid and some other unfinished special effects and things like that. And they said the movie was actually pretty good like that. So, that's why everybody's kind of getting mm-hmm. on board. But what we got, I enjoyed it. So,
how about number 9?
Number 9 on my list, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Ah, this is surprising that Spider-Man's low on your list.
Yeah, the only reason it's that low for me, and in retrospect, I'd probably bump it up a little bit more, but the reason I left it like that is because as good as the movie that it was, I knew it was going to be. I had no...
Your expectations were already high, so it couldn't exceed it, but it met it.
Yeah, it met my expectations.
We've had this complaint before that the Marvel formula can be very safe sometimes if you go back to it.
Right.
Does this feel like a safe Marvel movie, or did they take risks?
I wouldn't say it took risks, but it was a nice introduction. It was I can't say introduction because he was introduced in Civil War, but it was a nice carryover from Civil War, especially the opening scene of his point of view, him recording all their stuff.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was a fun movie. And I, as good as a Spider-Man that Tobey Maguire was, as good as a Peter... No, wait, hold on. As good as Peter Parker that Tobey Maguire was, and good as Spider-Man that Andrew Garfield was, I think...
Tom Holland puts it all together.
He's the total package as far as Peter Parker or Spider-Man goes. So definitely... They're on the right
track. One of the coolest villains that Marvel's universe
had to offer.
You beat me to
it. I was going to ask you later on, as far as these movies that we go, because a lot of them are like superhero stuff like that, who had the best villain. I think...
At the leaving the theater, I not only had intrigue, I wanted to see more. And the way they left it off, it shows like they might not be the last time we see the Vulture if they continue going on in the Spider movie.
Yeah, and just in case it wasn't made clear earlier, spoiler alert if you haven't seen
these
movies. Oh
yeah, oops.
But I like that little mid-credit scene where he's in prison and Scorpion, I guess, it's going to be
the new version of one of the Ultimate Spider-Man storylines is Scorpion's a like gangster and he's got tattoos and shit. And he has like a hook with chains.
Yeah.
He's got like a huge-ass fish hook with chains on
it. So he's...
I'd give it a chance if the story's built up this well and if you're going to keep Michael Keaton in there, I'll give it a shot.
But the fact, like, the way... He says, hey, rumors, you know who he is. And he's like, well, don't you know if I knew who he was, he'd be dead.
He'd be dead by now.
Oh. I was like, yo, he didn't tell him. That's so fucking cool.
Dude, the father's the speech driving up to the prom where he like tells him, like,
God.
Yeah, I shouldn't be killing you right now, but you saved my girl. So that's your past.
I'm saving your life right now by not killing you. Really.
Yeah.
But I still remember in the theater whenever when he rings the doorbell and the door opens up, everybody's like,
Man. I'm surprised that's not higher on my top five. But yeah, there's several parts of that movie to me that it felt like it was a safe Marvel formula-ish.
Yeah. All right, so my number 8.
Give it to me.
War of the Planet of the Apes.
Oh man, I can't wait to do one of these like retroactively because I finally a few days ago, bumming the 5G Wi-Fi at the Washateria, I downloaded all 3 of the Planet of the Apes movies.
Yeah.
And the next day off that I have, I'm gonna just sit down with a large pizza and a 2-liter, and I'm gonna just watch them all, one after the other.
Yeah.
Dawn, Rise, War.
Rise, Dawn, War. I think. I can't remember the first two. But I think it's Rise. I think the first one's Rise.
You sure?
Pretty sure.
Okay.
Because the titles, they sound like they should be the other way around. I think that's what confused everybody.
Okay.
But yeah, if you can make it past part two. Part two was, to me, it was kind of there. Like, it wasn't very memorable for me. But this movie, this part three, it was a nice... There were so many... Man, this sucks, though, because if you watch it, like, your viewing of it will be different from mine. Because before the first movie came out, before The Rise, I guess it's Rise, came out, I went back and I binged the first five classic movies from the 60s and 70s. Doing that, you'll appreciate it a lot more. Just, you don't have to, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's more fun.
Okay.
I'll say that.
I remember watching the original one a long time ago when I was a kid.
I was at Best Buy a couple weeks ago. Or no, it was last week. And, on Blu-ray, they have the 5-pack all in one for $20. I was about to buy it. I don't know why I didn't buy it. But yeah. But if you have the time and the needs and the methods of getting them all, and you have the patience and the time to watch them all, watch the classic series first. And the reason I'm saying that, first of all, you're going to get a lot more bang for your buck on the new movies. And secondly, I think the way that war ends ties back into how the first movie starts.
The very beginning where the guy from Earth ends up right there and finds the daughter all grown up.
So, yeah. So, I think that's how, if they continue moving on with this planet series, or the ape series.
The Fall of the Planet of the Apes?
They can just call it Planet of the Apes. Because, you know, they've had Rise, Fall. They can just call it Planet of the Apes if they want. And I think that would be a modern retelling of that first classic movie. Because,
and we forget about Mark Wahlberg and
I already did.
Okay.
But yeah, it's one of the
I keep reminding you that happens. You're like, no, it didn't. I was like, okay, yeah. I guess it didn't.
No, it didn't. So that was the beginning of the downfall of Tim Burton for me. But whatever. But yeah, this movie, he didn't do Batman.
I know.
This movie, like the way it ends, I'm telling you, man, it could pick right back up. You could do five more movies
just like the old ones.
You could watch War and then put in the first classic movie, and I'm sure it'll pick up right after that. That's how good that ending is. That because there's so many nods and winks and everything else, acknowledgments of that past series. But then you're realizing as you're watching, it's like, shit, this could be a prequel. And I think that's what it is. I think it's
you spent the last 5 minutes speaking very highly of this movie, and it's only number 8.
Yep.
Why?
That is a good question. It was a good year for movies. I'll put it like that.
Okay. That's good defense.
Yeah. That being the case,
normally sell me on a movie. You don't sell me on the history of a movie where I need to watch five just so I can better appreciate three of them.
Okay,
so I'm surprised that it's this low on your list.
Okay, then I'll tell you this. Woody Harrelson is good in the movie.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah,
how about that?
What's the last Woody Harrelson movie that he was good in? White Man Can't Jump?
Zombieland.
Oh, Zombieland. I was about to say the chick with the movie with Wesley Fox and Jennifer Lopez, but I forgot the name of it. But I'm going old. I'm going too old.
Yeah.
Zombieland. I remember I saw Zombieland. And it was good.
All right. So my next one, number 7.
Número 7.
Yes. What are that things? Okay. Annabelle Creation.
Oh, yeah. I keep forgetting you're a horror guy.
Yeah. You know, it's... he said horror. you know, it's funny. Because I had low expectations for this. And that's why this made my top 10 list.
Was the last one that bad? Yes. Oh, this is an origin movie, right?
This is an origin movie.
But the last one left such a bad taste in your mouth.
So the first Annabelle movie was a spinoff of the Insidious movies, mm-hmm. right? So you have that, and so you have Annabelle come off that, but the Annabelle movie it just wasn't good. It wasn't a good horror movie. Then this movie, they announced another, and I was like, fuck, really? They're making a sequel to that? Jesus Christ.
In the moment, why did you decide you wanted to watch that if you knew you had that bad of a taste in your mouth?
I think the early reviews were coming in, and like there was some positive talk. And it's a horror movie, and we know the character, so we're like, we'll give it a shot. Why not? We watch it, and I was like, holy fuck, this is like an old school horror movie. It was, they had just the right amount of suspense and moments, not scare tactics or anything like that. But there was some, but it wasn't like in your face all the time. And there was some serious suspense also. Like, and they didn't show you everything. Some of it was, you know, left to your imagination. So it was like I said, it was a good horror movie that just happened to have Annabelle in it. So I mean, if you like movie, like horror movies that like have evil possessed dolls or possession things like that and demonic stuff, it's good. I would recommend it.
Okay.
Obviously, since it made my top 10 list.
Number six.
Star Wars, Last Jedi.
What? What?
Yeah, man. Don't get me wrong. I like Last Jedi. However.
Hit me with it.
There was that middle act of that movie just fucking killed it for me. There is no excuse for any of that casino bullshit. Them stealing race seahorses or tauntauns, whatever the fuck they're supposed to be. There's no reason for any of that, which made no point. Like, it didn't even go to anything for the rest of the movie. It was totally pointless. They did the thing with Poe's mutiny on the ship was pointless because the new leader didn't want to tell him the plan, which was pointless. The whole middle act of the movie was pointless. However, I liked the opening. And I like the ending. And it's Star Wars.
And I like the part in the middle where they finally teamed up just for that moment to see who's turning to what side. Yes. Are we getting the heel Rey or are we getting the face Ben?
There you go with the wrestling talk. But
this is my number five. Well, on my top five list. So that'd be a nice transition.
What?
And I can't repeat. I don't need to repeat anything you just said because that's exactly why it's in my top five. If I was a car salesman, my pitch would be this felt more like a Rogue One and felt less like one of the chapters of the Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
This felt like one of the filler movies in the middle.
Which is weird. This felt like the third movie of a trilogy. There was some closure. Spoiler alert. If you're a Luke Skywalker fan, this is one of my favorite movies with Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill in the movie. Only because the torment that he was at the beginning to his peaceful resolve at the end. And dude, we got fucking Yoda. A puppet Yoda. Not a CG bouncing all over the fucking place. He's quirky. He was teasing Luke.
And he was old as fuck, too. That sounds like he sounded like my old grandpa.
That was Yoda from Return of the Jedi in Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. So I got a big kick out of that. The thing with the Mary Poppins Leia thing. See, stuff like that is... But, like I said, it's fucking Star Wars. At the end of the day, I'm watching an episode of Star Wars movies, and I'm hooked already.
The only thing that's got me... the thing that's got me hooked for episode 9 is the possibility of who the next big bad is. Because I don't think... But with General Hux and Kylo Ren being where they are right now, they're not the top of the villainy food chain. And they were doing a lot of references that I was picking. Well, they did several references I was picking up to where I was noticing, dude, if Supreme Leader Snoke had at least one apprentice, or if he's not dead or whatever, they never really showed a resolve to General Plagueis from Episode 3, where he's the guy that learned how to come back to life.
Oh yeah, that little scene. Yeah,
that's a theory. There leaves a lot of possibilities because the way the movie ended, I don't feel like Kylo Ren is worthy of being the main bad guy of the movie because even then, I don't know if he's still
because ass kicked already.
Yeah, twice
by an untrained Jedi, he got his ass kicked
and by a hologram. So you don't know. So there has to be a bigger hook.
Yeah.
So and that the fact of what I don't know. As opposed to what I've seen from the first two movies so far, it's of what I don't know, I'm curious it could be, that has me hooked on episode 9.
Well, I'm curious about episode 9.
Yeah.
I'm curious as fuck how they're going to take care of Leia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know how they're going to do that. The Snoke thing, is he done? Yeah, he got cut in half, but Darth Maul got cut in half, and he showed back up in
Rebels,
you know, in Clone Wars. So, did he die? You know? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. You know, it's so funny because...
And where the fuck are the Knights of Ren?
Who cares? Here's the thing. Like, this movie, it, like, defied all expectations. Because you thought you're going one way, And everybody thought you're going to go in this way. And then every single time you think you're going to left, whoo, he veers you off to the right every single fucking time. And I actually like that. It was jarring at times.
You like the foreplay.
Tease me a few times.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's just weird that all these fans got so up in arms.
They're petitioning to remove it from the canon.
Oh, Lord Jesus. It's not that serious. No. But hey, you got people talking about the movie. So, this is funny.
$220 million opening weekend between Thursday night all the way through Sunday.
Yeah, like, it can't go anywhere. No, it's funny to me because whenever a bad review comes in or a movie has like a low score on Rotten Tomatoes, like Justice League or any DC movie, and it's got a low score, it's like, well, it's Rotten Tomatoes, so, you know, what are you gonna do? And now, and it's like when Star Wars has a low, like a 28% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, like, well, what happens was they just take they take all these different the reviews from these critics, and then they don't really say where they're actually coming from and who's watched it and who hasn't watched it.
Oh, well, shit, that whole debacle with Justice League where you can find it on Flixster, the Rotten Tomato app, and people were
And I just thought it was funny that people were they're starting to defend a low score because it's Star Wars, but when the same thing happens when it's DC or something like that.
It sucks.
Yeah. So I got amused out of the people getting all butthurt about some of the stuff.
Last Jedi was my number five. What's your number five?
My number five is it. That's my number five.
It's it.
Yeah, man. The remake of the Stephen King movie. It. Yeah, I didn't know really what to expect because my only knowledge of this was the original from the 80s, early 90s, mm-hmm. Which technically wasn't a movie. It was just a long miniseries that was released. But this telling was really good. I wasn't sure if I was going to like Pennywise, the clown, demon. Yeah, dude, he knocked it out of the park. Did you watch the movie yet?
Nope.
Okay. The cast was really well, which was weird because this movie reminded me a lot of Stranger Things. I was crossing my wires a lot, especially because one cast member was in the movie and the show, and it was both set in the 80s. So it was one of those things where, is this Stranger Things or whatever?
Is this Walking Dead or Punisher?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's the same thing. So, which is weird because, you know, in the original, it would cut back and forth. It was the adults reminiscing or doing flashbacks to the 80s and stuff, where this movie was just straight up 80s, you know. So I'd imagine the next movie is going to be the adult side of things. So as far as, this is a good year for horror movies. Like Annabelle was one, It was another one. It exceeded my expectations on that, and because of that, that's why it's number five. And this is a straight up good horror movie. So again, if you like horror movies, go check out It.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it.
Number four. My number four.
Yes.
Is a movie that I fucking should have saw in the theater. Or maybe I did see it in the theater. I don't remember. But I saw it late. After you and a couple of other people were telling me, man, this is your joint, man. Yeah. You need to watch it.
Yeah.
Baby Driver is my number four.
You want to hear something funny? That's my number four.
Yeah! That chase scene in the beginning of the movie where he, like, Texas two-stepped that WRX Impreza through the water, like, spun it halfway and then brought it back around, which I know it couldn't be done. They had to slice that. But good Lord, dude. It had a mix of awesome car chases, but a storyline that you can easily get into.
It's a good story.
The cast was fucking awesome in this movie. Like, it's a who's who. Kevin Spacey. Don't still keep him around, kids. Jamie Foxx. John Hamm. John Bernthal. I forgot the chick's name that was in this. That played the...
Oh, she's Darlin.
Yeah, Darlin. I forgot what her real name is.
Yeah, I can't remember. She's cute, though.
Yeah, Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers is also in this.
Yeah,
But
hey, it's written and directed by Edgar Wright. I'm an Edgar Wright fan, so I enjoyed anything he's gonna do. It's gonna be good for me. Yeah. I have yet to see a bad one that I can think of. Rolls In was okay, but anyway,
That fucking soundtrack is boss too, dude. We talked about this earlier, that you want to have a copy of it.
The whole movie is the way it's choreographed with the music.
Choreography, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... yeah, that opening chase. Dude, I was so... Man, I kept trying to send you that link to... Because they had it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, the opening scene.
I saw it on Io9 and on Jalopnik that they
you're like, no, man, I don't want to see it.
I don't want to see it. I don't want to watch it in theater.
Yeah, man.
And I'm glad I waited. Because that was a good... It was good to just watch the whole thing fresh. And it was good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my number four.
I thought that was funny because when I saw that movie, I was like, fucking Tokyo Drift was for amateurs, apparently, because this this movie, that opening scene just blew them away, I thought. But
yeah.
Anyway, all right.
The choreography in the post office scene where Baby ran away and John Hammond, the chick, are fighting or defending the cops, and the movie is like going along with the gunshots and the bullets.
Oh, yeah.
Dude.
My only thing that is kind of disappointing for me in that movie was, story-wise, it kind of sucks that...
Kevin Spacey molested all those boys? Oh, you mean the movie.
Yeah. Well, no, because they had such a good chemistry, I thought, when John Hamm was, like, talking to Baby... And he was like, what are you, you know, he's talking about Queen and everything, and he's listening to Queen, and they're going back and forth. Yeah. That was a really good...
interaction.
Yeah, it was just really good just in general. And the way it comes into play later on, because they're trying to kill him later on, spoiler alert. But I just thought that, man, that sucks, because character-wise.
I like the interaction with him and Jamie Foxx, because Jamie Foxx, they're going over the plan... And Fox is like, dude, this motherfucker's not paying attention to shit.
Mm.
And he's like, baby, what's the plan? Takes off his earphones. Verbatim, every single fucking thing I put Jamie in his place. I was like, what? Yeah, man. My man, baby. Dude, yeah, it was fun. And that's one of those movies that got to the point where it's now on my routine list. Mm. Like, if there's a movie I want to watch whenever I have downtime... Instead of going to the theater and watch a new one,
I popped in yesterday.
Yeah, Baby Driver. It's fun. Yeah. Even to, like, you know, I've seen it enough times, oddly enough, I've seen this movie enough times where I can do things in the background and I can still sing along to the soundtrack when the song comes on, or when there's a badass scene that I know that I like, I'll stop folding or whatever, and I'll just turn up and watch it. Then once it's over, go back to, you know, it has a lot of replayability for me.
Yeah, I agree.
It's an undercover chick flick. It has the undertones of a chick flick. You can get a girl to watch it, but at the same time, cars.
Well, my wife likes the movie.
Yeah.
So. And that was another thing. Yeah, the two main, the guy and the girl at the beginning, I mean, Debbie and Baby, you know, they had
Miles.
Good chemistry. Whatever, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know your real name was Miles.
Mm. So we had the same number four. Mm-hmm. What's your number three?
Ragnarok.
No, Ragnarok!
That's my Rock!
That's my number three.
Are you serious?
Yep. Yes, I think we're going to have the same countdown from here on.
I don't know.
I don't know.
But my number three is Thor Ragnarok. And that's another example for you where, for you, there was a movie earlier on your list that wasn't higher because you expected it to be that good. So it didn't exceed your expectations because you knew how high it was going to be.
Right.
My expectations for this was like at an 11, and it somehow ended up at a 12. Like, it still exceeded expectations.
I watched that trailer so many times. Like, I never watched a trailer that many times.
I have never sung the Immigrant Song as much as I did the last 3 months.
Right? It was. People ask me, like, what'd you think of Ragnarok? I was like, it's fun. It's bottom line. It's a fun flick. If you want to have a good time in a movie, pop that movie in. You're gonna have a good time.
That's easily gonna get into Baby Driver status once it's released.
Oh yeah.
Where it's I might have that like in the background.
And there's so many things that I missed, you know, the first time around. You know, there's so many not cameos, but Easter eggs for comic book fans. The Jack Kirby stuff is all over the fucking place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just one of those things where you can watch it for that, you can watch it for just having a good time, you can watch it for Jeff Goldblum, you can watch it for whatever reason you want.
I knew Doug.
Yeah. Oh god, yeah.
I knew Doug.
They made it. You have a little hidden Hulk movie in there.
Yeah,
you know, so Planet Hulk is. You get Hulk versus Thing. I mean, Hulk versus Thor. So, what more do you want, right? I mean, it's all I can say. It's a fun movie, and it's a lead into Avengers, where we're going into. So, yeah, it's I think we did a review.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, easy.
Yeah. So if you want to know more thoughts about that, go check out our Ragnarok episode.
What's your number two?
My number two, Wonder Woman.
Go for it.
Is that your number two?
It's not my number two.
Really? Okay.
No.
Is it your number two? I think. Well, okay. That's weird.
No.
Yeah, Wonder Woman. It's everything I thought it was going to be. Which is, you finally got a strong female-driven superhero movie that wasn't. What's the word I'm looking for? It didn't. They could have done a lot more exaggerate things, and they downplayed it a lot. They made the story between her and Steve Trevor, Chris Pine's character, relatable. Like you said, it's like a little hidden love movie somewhere in there, rom com or whatever you want to call it. The setting for World War One. Bottom line, that No Man's Land scene.
Oh shit! That makes the movie.
That makes the movie right there. I got the poster, and that's from that scene. the reason it's number two and not number one is the end of the movie gets kind of Zack Snyder-ish.
It gets, yeah. It's in the dark. It's again, it's just, it felt.
There's stuff floating in the sky. There's people shooting shit out.
There's two reasons why this didn't crack my top five. Number one was that mistake isn't, Last Jedi, that there's the stuff in the middle that you can edit out, but in between that middle was Rey getting on the ship,
right,
and the whole counter with Snoke and all that. So there's still middle that you can have there, and that's not a mistake that I noticed happening in the franchise.
Yeah,
that ending of that last act of Wonder Woman is the same mistake I've seen in every Warner Brothers franchise ever since they've tried to make their own universe, and that mistake is why it's not on my top five, because they're not learning from their mistakes by putting that at the end of Wonder Woman.
Well, I mean, Justice League,
and to me, watching it in the moment, it was an awesome movie.
Right,
replayability, other than the No Man's Land scene. There isn't anything else that would make me want to watch the rest of this movie. There's just not a lot of replayability factor for me.
You don't have estrogen, so that's probably why.
It can't be that, because one of the best parts of BVS was Gal Gadot, and I was looking. I was as optimistic for Wonder Woman than I was more than any other Warner Brothers movie in this universe, because Gal Gadot does such a good job.
Yeah,
and it's a good story from start to finish, but not all of it stands out for me to want to watch it. Continue like on a repeated basis, so that's why it didn't reach my top five for me. My number two was one that cracked the list at the last minute, because this mofo came out of nowhere. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. I was not expecting at all, at all. I didn't have negative anticipation. I had zero anticipation for this. I've never watched the original Jumanji with Robin Williams. Like nothing. This was my introduction to the Jumanji timeline.
Wow.
And
I don't know why I say
that.
The
Rock was in this, and even then, I wasn't interested in watching this movie.
Right.
The trailers were fun, but I've learned my lesson from Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
But like you, a lot of the opening reviews came out, and people were really high on this movie.
Right.
And it's like, dude, I read one review specifically that said that this was one of the best video game movies he had ever seen. So when you say that. That's going to make me take $9 out of my wallet and go sit down in a leather recliner.
You know, it's funny you say that. When we're leaving the theater and we're driving home, I said, that was a good video game movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was. Cause
and it fucking was, dude.
And it was interesting how they incorporated the video game aspects that were in they were in the game.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fun movie. I didn't know what to expect because I wasn't sure. I knew it wasn't a reboot. I knew they were continuing the legacy of the first movie, which they did. That was The Hut. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Allen was here, whatever. But Kevin Hart was funny. But both me and my wife, actually my wife more than me, was thoroughly impressed with
Jack Black.
Playing the teenage girl. Yeah.
Like, oh my God, like, where's my phone? I can't even. No.
Yeah.
Oh, look what this penis can do.
Yeah. Was that him or was that you saying that?
I did a little both.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the fact that it came out of nowhere That's my number two. I see myself watching that more.
Alrighty. So
this movie might make me. Oh, I'm not might. It will. I need to go back and watch the original Jumanji from start to finish. You've had it here a couple of times on free TV, and I didn't want to pay attention to it because I wanted to see that from the beginning so that I can get it. Nah. This movie opened my eyes to get into Jumanji, like the old stuff. So I will be watching the old one.
Well, it's only like 25 years old.
I'll probably get it for a couple of bucks on iTunes.
Maybe.
Yeah. So that's the plan. That's my number two.
Okay. And I already said my number two.
Yeah.
What's your number one?
Dude, we don't need to beat around
the bush. Does it start with an L?
We don't need to beat around the bush, dude. I'm going to make my argument short and sweet. People might like Star Wars because they've been into it. They've been invested to it since they were a kid or second generation, third generation, whatever. Mm-hmm. I've been invested in the Wolverine character since X-Men 1 in 2000. Mm-hmm.
17 years.
17 years with Hugh Jackman as my Wolverine.
Yeah.
At the time, it was the weekend release of this movie was 4 days before I had to go to court to find out if I was because I was in a paternity suit, and watching this movie prepared me to be like, all right, if this kid's mine, fuck it, I can't do any worse than fucking Wolverine, you know. And I bawled like an 8 year old at the end of that movie when she dropped the daddy lines, like fuck me, dude. And still. And then watching it in the noir version on digital, on black and white, dude, Logan. Yeah. Logan, that's it. There's not much more of a defense I can make to it. Logan is my number one, and that's it.
You don't got to defend it. It's my number one, too. Yeah, man. Talking about taking a superhero movie genre and just turning it on its head and just doing something out of left field. And, you know, Fox, for all its wrongs it's done with X-Men's franchise, dude, they knocked it out of the park with Deadpool, and they knocked it out of the park with Logan.
They realized that there is a market for an R-rated action movie if the character has investment within the audience.
Yeah.
It almost took me back because I was like, man, I wonder how the Wolverine movie, the one before where it's in Japan with the samurai stuff, I wonder how good that could have been if it was rated R.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, man, how good could this movie have been if it was PG-13? No, this had to have been R. And if this was the last one with Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, I don't want to say it took 17 years because the development of Wolverine as a character from Hugh Jackman, I don't think there were many flaws in it. Maybe the storylines around his single movies, but that's not Hugh Jackman's fault. Hugh Jackman delivered the character from the beginning, in my opinion. And I feel old saying this. I grew up to that. 17 years, dude, of Hugh Jackman as my Wolverine. That like outlasts the fucking X-Men animated series when I was in high school. Like that's my Hugh Jackman is my new Wolverine, and it took the last one to get it right. God damn. It's a grand slam, dude.
Yeah. This movie was so good. The performances from Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman together. You know what? When I was rewatching it yesterday, also, I forgot how good the dinner table scene is.
Yeah.
Not just with the family, but with Xavier, Logan, and the girl. All talking, like acting like a family. That was such
Daphne X-23 learning to laugh.
Yeah, or smile or whatever.
Yeah, but like that's when they all learned to be human instead of just mutants.
Yeah, but mainly because of Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman going back and forth and acting normal for the first time and only time, I think.
Yeah.
But that was such a good scene. I think maybe downplayed, underrated a little bit.
Yeah.
Another really good scene in that movie for me is towards the end, when they're in the hideout place for the kids, and she's trying to get him to go with them, and he's like, no, I'm staying here. You know, I'm not good at any of this. You have to go without me. Bad shit happens to people.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah, yeah. Dude.
Yeah. And that whole scene, and she leaving, turns around and says, well, then I'll be okay. You know, she's, oh, fuck. Yeah.
You took all the medicine, didn't you? God. Fuck.
Oh, it's wearing off, yeah. And then, of course, we got the fun stuff, like the fight scenes. Anything that with Daphne Keene.
The introduction of Daphne Keene as X-23 when she comes out with a severed head and just throws it in front of all the guys. Like, yeah, I'm not the one you're going to fuck with.
Yeah.
And Patrick Stewart explaining to Logan is like, look, she has the claws on her feet like a mother to be defensive.
Right.
Oh, man. Yeah. I still watch that, dude. Like, that's one of those when I pop it in, I'm watching it from start to finish. Like, there's no lulls. I don't think there's anything in there that's out of place or out of context, or there isn't anything where, oh, the movie would be better if you cut out these 6 minutes. Like, you watch the whole shit from start to finish.
Did you watch the deleted scenes?
No.
I did.
Talk to me about the deleted scenes.
Some of them were good. Some of them, there's one, it was weird, like that dinner table scene. There was an extended part of that where thankfully they cut out, right before the wife offers them to stay the night. Xavier talks about Logan killing his wife, which he's getting his stories mixed up because he's not all right. He doesn't remember anything, right? But he's talking about Jean Grey when he killed Jean Grey.
Oh.
So it's like, the reason, even the director said the reason he took that out is because that would make that family seem kind of like, why would you offer them to stay the night if you just said that he killed his wife? So that was one cut. There was a scene with one of the boys playing with Sabretooth and Wolverine toys, and he's asking if Sabretooth is real. He's like, yeah, he's real, but, or something like that. But
I saw a picture of that online.
Yeah, there's a couple of other scenes, but those are the ones that kind of stood out for me. Overall, man, you can't bash this. I mean, I'm sure you can find a way to bash this movie, but I mean, it's so, the reason it's so revered, I think, is because, first of all, it's so different from your typical, definitely different from your X-Men movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think we wouldn't have gotten this movie without the Wolverine first, because written and directed by the same person, and the Wolverine was kind of the same tone.
So Wolverine righted a lot of wrongs from the X-Men Origins movie that made it acceptable that you can have a standalone Wolverine movie if told right. There are obviously flaws in the Wolverine movie, but it's a whole lot better from X-Men Origins and from a lot of fans' opinions of X3.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So
X3 sucks.
Yeah. So,
but we're not talking about that. We're talking about
But between the last solo Wolverine movie and then of course the Deadpool. Fox knew that we were ready for this movie, and they gave it to us.
Yeah.
Without any whitewashing, without any watering down, without any false.
Now hope my or anything, only they, my tr- only nit to pick on this is it is a little out of place for all of a sudden. Him to call people motherfuckers, you know. Fuck you. Fuck
it just
off.
Takes one or two Sam Jackson movies and it just rubs off.
No, but I'm saying in the context of the franchise in general, it is kind of off-putting. It's not on.
You would have wanted more bubs,
at least one, you know, or something, you know. But it's just the violence is fine with me, but it doesn't bother me with all the head kills.
Did you mind the Wolverine clone as the villain or the side villain?
The clone modified Wolverine, or should I say CM Wolverine?
Yeah.
Yes, that was it was interesting. I kind of wish it was Daken, the son of Wolverine, because that's the thing in the comics. But for all intents and purposes, it worked because it was from the movie. It played out because they talked about that earlier in the movie when he's watching it on the little phone. So yeah, I mean, they set up a kind of a new world. You know, the younger mutants.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is it's in the future,
so you can't really tie it together unless Deadpool and Cable travel to time. But you don't want to mess with that.
So that's my number one too, man.
Wow. Logan. Cheers to that, man.
Right? I do have some honorable mentions. I'll run this real quick here.
I'll start with one.
Okay.
An example of not listening to critics' opinions. I loved Baywatch.
Huh?
It's a classic. I grew up watching who did not grow up watching Pamela Anderson run in slow motion in in Baywatch? And I think they did a faithful spoof of Baywatch, but it had substance to it and it wasn't completely dumb.
I liked it better
than a lot of people's opinions of that movie was online. Yeah. I was like, no, that's not the first time that online opinions differed from what I thought. And I'm glad I saw it. I mean, I rented it.
The reviews for it made me think that these critics were taking the movie too seriously.
Yes. That's not a movie to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
When you have that mentality that you're not supposed to take it seriously, yeah. when you watch it, you're going to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're expecting an Oscar-nominated movie out of, like, Jackass, you're going to be very disappointed.
Yeah. okay, so some honorable mentions that didn't make my list here. John Wick Chapter 2.
Fuck, I need to watch the first one.
Kong Skull Island.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
It had more positives than negatives, but there were actually, yeah.
And Get Out.
That's the black horror movie, right?
Yes, Chris. Okay. It's the black horror movie.
Okay. Yeah, where everybody's trying to kill the black people because they're always the first ones to die.
Yeah.
I liked Fate of the Furious.
I forgot that came out. I liked it.
Obviously, because all the cars, I like the twist on the storyline that they try to make Vin Diesel the bad guy, but there was motive on why he had to do the things he did.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, I don't think this movie made the franchise any worse. This is definitely not the worst movie. I don't rank it as the best, but it's good. It's a good watch. I watch it every now and then.
Yeah.
And it does have me curious on where else the fuck are they going to go with this?
Space.
Oh, no. I've read that a lot. It's like, I don't know how they're going to do that. Like, you put some 48s on a fucking NASA shuttle. Maybe.
Give it time. They'll figure it out. All right.
How do they make it up to space? It's all in the NOS, man. All in the NOS.
Super NOS. Designed by NASA.
Yeah, they misspelled it. It's supposed to be NASA.
Oh, God. Oh, God. They're going to do that. They're going to fucking do that. You jackass.
I just ruined it for you.
No, they did that in their own.
Hitman's Bodyguard.
Okay, yeah.
I like Sam Jackson. I like Ryan Reynolds, and those two together.
That's all you need.
They played off each other very well. Yeah,
and that's why we went to go paid to see it in the theater.
Same here.
That's all you needed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any more honorable mentions?
I need to go back and watch the first part of this story because I was very surprised on how much I like Split.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Split was a very good... That was the first movie I saw, I think, 2017.
Yeah, it came out in like March or January, I think.
Yeah. And at the very end, I saw Bruce Willis, and then I found out that he's a character from...
Unbreakable.
From Unbreakable, and that's the they're building up to the sequel to that. I was like, okay, I need to get into Split.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, that's it. Besides any of the movies that are on your top 10 that I didn't miss. So, yeah, that's it.
All right. So, real quick. I have... My worst five movies of the year. You want to hear my worst five?
Go.
Power Rangers.
That's your number five?
That's my number five.
Okay.
Mainly because I fell asleep through it.
The only reason it wouldn't be on the worst of my list, it actually is on my worst of the list because I didn't watch that many. I wish the last 30 minutes of that movie came sooner than it did because those last 30 minutes felt like I was an 11-year-old at home watching Power Rangers on the Fox. It felt like an episode of old school Power Rangers, but the build to get to that was so long.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucked. Okay, so number four, It Comes at Night. It was a movie that came out in the theaters. We never caught it. So we, I think we rented it or something on Redbox. I can't remember. Movie sucked. It just flat out sucked. It's supposed to be like suspense. Don't know who you trust type thing. It's out in the wooden cabins and shit. So I had to look this shit up because it isn't explained. It's not explained in the movie, but it's like a post-apocalyptic future, right? Mankind's limited, you know, down whatever. You know those episodes of Walking Dead where not a lot of shit happens and they just talk a lot and you don't know if you can trust the other person? It's like that. There's no zombies and there's no resolve to anything.
Oh, fuck.
And one of the person just kills the other person. That's sucks. Don't see that movie.
Okay.
It's a waste of fucking time. All right.
Number three,
The Mummy.
That was a lot. There was a lot of hope put on that movie. Like, that was supposed to be the start of the Monsterverse for Universal.
The Dark Universe. Yeah. Oh,
and,
God.
Yeah, did it, like, fail miserably?
And what do? They make it an action movie. Fuck, it's Dark Universe. You make your shit horror movies. Don't do action. And don't bring in Tom Cruise. That's the two things that
made... The trailers made it come across... The last trailers where they started to reveal all the Easter eggs.
Yeah,
like
Dr.
Jekyll and Mr. Hyde's like, oh man, great. So they just redid A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, right? Is that what that basically was? Which I would rather prefer watching A League of Extraordinary Gentlemen because at least you got the catchphrase, oh, well, that was naughty. Is there any of that cool shit in The Mummy?
No.
Well, there you go.
All right, so number two, King Arthur.
Oh, that's the guy from Son of Anarchy.
Yeah, Charlie Hunnam.
Charlie Hunnam.
The movie's just all over the fucking place. It was convoluted. It was didn't that. I think it was directed by not Guy Ritchie. No, yeah, I think Guy Ritchie. Guy Pierce. I don't know. The guy sucks. I don't know. I don't like English anyway. So
the streak continues.
I guess, but I just the movie sucked. And again, kind of like Mummy, it was supposed to start a new franchise, a new series of King Arthur-esque, you know, leading into other movies. But it sucks so bad. I don't think they're going to do that. It's terrible. I mean, anyway.
For anybody that does not have the benefit of being in this room right now at La Cucina Studios, is your shirt foreshadowing of your worst movie of the year? Because that's obviously the top of my worst movie of the year. Transformers: The Last Night sucked so bad.
Yeah.
The time it would take for me to explain this movie would probably be about the length of the whole fucking movie.
Well, we did an episode on it.
Yeah.
So we don't need to.
Yeah, we don't need
to. All I know is that it was so fucking out there, so spastic and just everywhere. Nothing made sense. You're in one movie at the beginning of the movie. The girl that they showed in all the trailers, she's in it for like the first 20 minutes.
And that's it.
And that's it. And then they go into another movie in the second half when they're in England and you get this backstory of like Merlin and all this other bullshit. And then it ends when we got another tease of Optimus going evil, but he's not really. He's evil for like 2 minutes before a Bumblebee talks to him and it freezes mind control or whatever the shit. And then they're okay again. And then they. Unicron tries to come out of Earth, but it doesn't, or some shit. I don't know. This movie was a mess.
I will say this. There was about maybe 10 seconds of this movie. I'm transitioning to something else. There's 10 seconds in this movie that has me so intrigued that my most anticipated movie of 2018 is the Bumblebee movie.
Yes.
The scene where Bumblebee and Hot Rod are fighting Nazis. Yes. Give me more of that, please.
Yes.
In a Volkswagen bug. Please give me all the bugs. So this is the last chance for them to try to earn some good faith in me and the Transformers franchise before I start to take a back seat. Because obviously, we're Transformers guys. One way or the other, we're going to watch this stuff, even if it's horrendously bad.
Like last night.
But yeah, but we'll know where in our list of to-do how far down that will end up. But I'm hoping that this Bumblebee will right some wrongs, like Wonder Woman righted some wrongs.
Right. So you mentioned the Bumblebee movie. That's an anticipation for 2018. I'm optimistically cautious about this Bumblebee movie. Only because, look, we've already seen some pictures on the set. He is an 80s Volkswagen bug. Mm-hmm. It's not directed or written or anything with Michael Bay. It has nothing to do with this fucking thing.
Here's a weird question. Is there any bad movie besides The Marine that John Cena has been in?
I can't tell you. I don't know.
Yeah, so he's in this movie.
Yeah.
I liked him in Daddy's Home. I liked him in... he's in something else that I saw this year. I forgot. Yeah, this is the last chance. I've got all my A's in the Bumblebee
basket.
The reason
I'm optimistically cautious about it is because, like I just said, it's a different director. It's a different writer. It's a different... It's a different time frame. Yeah, I'm just hoping, fingers crossed, that they, you know, kind of push some things aside and let them tell. You know, the director, I read an interview with him. He said what he was trying to capture for the feel of this movie was Spielberg Amblin movies from the 80s. Where, you know, you have a kid getting in contact with some kind of alien or inanimate object or something like that, like an ET or something like that, and that bond that forms between the kid and the
thing. Dude, if this is the Transformers version of Iron Giant, I'm all in.
Yeah. Speaking of Iron Giant, another anticipation, one of my top anticipations. Ready Player One. I've never read the book. I've been told I need to read the book. I'm probably not going to read the book before it comes out.
Are there any pictures in this book? Otherwise, I'm not reading it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I think at this point in time, I just want to watch the movie without having knowledge of other stuff. And then maybe after the movie, then I'll go back. But man, this movie looks incredible. With Steven Spielberg, again, back doing his thing. Spielberg's weird. Like, we grew up with Spielberg. Like,
doing... all his hits, he's got some hardcore misses.
Well, I don't want to say misses, but there's not my cup of tea. Because he's been doing a lot of like historical and period pieces and things like that. And it's not really what I grew up with. It's not my Indiana. It's not my E.T.'s. It's not my anything like Jaws or anything like that. It's That's the kind of stuff I miss. And I think with this, we're getting back to that. I'm hoping. Fingers crossed. That's what I'm hoping for. But so many... We kind of... I think it was like 25 different different Easter eggs throughout the trailer that they already posted. Or
the DeLorean. Chun-Li.
Oh, we're not going to go through all of them.
Oh, yeah.
There was four different...
Bigfoot, the monster truck.
Yeah, I just said we're not going to go through them. Yeah, but there was, there's four different Street Fighter characters in there.
Oh,
so.
Shit.
Oh, and the DeLorean has the Knight Rider thing going back and forth across.
Okay, so I will see your Ready Player One, and I will raise you Deadpool 2.
Okay.
Because, again, that goes back to investment.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds has been invested in the Deadpool character for almost 10 years before he finally got Deadpool 1 out. Yeah. And Deadpool 1, like, killed everything. Yeah. Like, literally and figuratively, with guns and swords.
Right.
So, I'm ready for number 2.
Yeah. And I'm curious how they're going to do Cable.
Yeah.
I'm really... Yeah, that's got my curiosity more than anything.
Hi, I'm Deadpool, and I have DirecTV. Oh, hi, I'm Deadpool, and I have Cable.
Yeah. Okay, so you're looking forward to that. Another, well, talking about Deadpool, I'm going to mention this. New Mutants.
Yes.
A horror movie X-Men film? Yeah. Oh, okay.
You did good going off the beaten path with Deadpool. You did good going off the beaten path with Logan.
Yes.
Now you're completely doing a fucking U-turn with New Mutants.
And we'll see if
it
works.
And for, I didn't get into Legion. I didn't get into Runaways. I haven't gotten into The Gifted. Purposely, because if there's a group ensemble for me to get into so I won't get worn out, I'm going to start with this one. So I am definitely stoked for New Mutants.
And it comes out on my birthday too. So, happy birthday to me. Okay, so sticking with the superhero theme, there's a lot of superhero movies coming out next year.
Infinity War.
That's
a gimme. Oh, hey, do we need to say that?
I think that's going to become... I think we're going to watch that.
I think it's kind of going to be cool.
Yeah. So that being, you know, notwithstanding...
I'm hoping the soundtrack for Black Panther is going to be full of Kendrick Lamar, dude. That Black Panther already... I'm ready for Black Panther. I need some soul.
Here's my issue with Black Panther. I think that's stuck in between now and Avengers. And it's like people are looking... I think people are already looking past it. Yeah.
Well, it's coming from the white guy.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
Oh, no. I'm looking forward to Black... Yeah. Dude, especially because if we got Hulk in the Thor movie, I'm hoping we get some kind of Winter Soldier helping Black Panther. Since Winter Soldier's still in cryostasis in Wakanda.
Yeah, because I think, isn't Winter Soldier going to be in Avengers?
Yeah.
So something's going to happen.
So I would like to see some kind of...
Well, he's in the trailer. Fuck, what am I saying? He's in the fucking...
He's in the trailer.
Yeah.
No.
In the Black Panther trailer.
Who?
Winter Soldier?
No,
he's in Avengers.
It's Avengers.
That's Avengers. Yeah, okay.
I'm hoping that Black Panther gets outnumbered with Killmonger and all his gallery that out of nowhere Winter Soldier starts redeeming himself as an actual human being as opposed to a reprogrammed Nazi killer. And I would like to... And that goes back to my argument now. It's like, okay, well, after the Avengers movies, it's going to be hard to have a solo movie without having somebody help. You know, it was hard to have the Thor... I don't know if we could have gotten a good Thor movie if we didn't get Ragnarok the way we did, if we're just these Thor trying to figure everything out on his own instead of calling on the phone, hey, Iron Man, I need you. You know, because they're all there.
Oh, yeah.
So now, like, I'm hoping since, you know, fucking Winter Soldier's there on Wakanda, if Black Panther needs the help, I would like to see some kind of interaction. Especially if you're going to carry that over from Civil War, where you thought Winter Soldier's he killed freaking Black Panther's dad, and you realize that wasn't him, it was programmed, he learned at the end of Civil War. Build on that shit going into Infinity. Right. So I would really want to see, that's why my anticipation for that's high. Because if you can do that with Thor and Hulk... And Ragnarok, I would like to see Winter Soldier and Black Panther build in this movie to build up for more anticipation for Infinity War.
You know, I mentioned New Mutants. I'm looking forward to that because it's horror-based.
Mm-hmm.
Along the same lines, I'm looking forward to Venom.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because that's going to be a horror-based
Spider-Man
movie without Spider-Man.
Yeah,
but we'll see how it works.
They're kind of merging the comic book version of Venom with the Eddie Brock old school Spider-Man storyline, where Eddie Brock's a soldier because they have pictures of Eddie Brock in a soldier outfit. So it might be he finds a symbiote and he can't control it sometimes or whatever.
But speaking
of Spider-Man, dude, they're going to release an animated Spider-Man and the Spider-Verse at the end of next year.
Right
at the end of this year. Yeah. You're not feeling it?
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it. Yeah, the animation was kind of wonky for me.
How about Batman Ninja?
Yeah, I'll check it out. It's different. I don't know where they're what they're smoking to come up with that shit. But yeah, it's
The Japanese. Their shit's hardcore.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, the animation looks really beautiful, but mm-hmm. I mean, other than that, I mean, yeah, it's gonna be samurai. You know, Batman is a samurai, so mm-hmm. yeah, what's wrong with that. X-Men Dark Phoenix. The only reason I'm looking forward to this, mainly because
it's in space.
Well, it's War of Attrition. I've seen all the other X-Men movies. Kind of like Transformers.
You feel like you need a
Transformers.
Payoff.
Like I've seen all those movies. Yeah. I'm going to watch them all. X-Men, I've seen them all. I'm going to watch this one. Yeah, and yeah, they are keeping to the comic book vibe of the Dark Phoenix saga from the comics, and they are going in space. So it's at least already a little bit better than the original time they tried to do the Dark Phoenix saga in the movies. So that's one. Hellboy, it's coming out.
Yeah.
The reboot of Hellboy. With the dude that played the sheriff in Stranger Things, so I saw.
So you don't have a hard on that Ron Perlman's not coming back.
No,
you don't mind. Okay, just making sure. You know, just if people.
Yeah, some people. Everything. I was kind of bummed, but then I saw the picture of that dude. The new dude is as Hellboy. I was like, fuck, it looks just like him. I mean, it looks just. You know, so I can't really. You know.
I've always been a fan of like good cop movies. Training Day comes to mind really quick.
Mm-hmm.
I've been more and more intrigued with the trailers for Den of Thieves that's coming out within the first couple of weeks.
Okay.
With Ice Cube's kid, 50 Cent, the guy from Geostorm, I forget his name, Gerard Butler.
Yeah,
it's got my attention. That's probably going to be the first movie I watch this year.
Okay. Not really anticipation for him, but I'm probably going to watch it first of the year is Insidious. The chapter 4, okay. The key thing, whatever the key thing is, whatever. So let's see. We already said Avengers, Aquaman. I mentioned that earlier. Mm-hmm. They're going to reboot or do something with Halloween. So I'm kind of curious about how they're going to do that. The Solo Star Wars movie,
Han Solo.
Yeah, which again, it's kind of like Justice League, where I'm hearing a lot of shit that's going on behind the scenes, and I don't know. I'm cautious about that movie, you know.
Donald Glover is Lando Calrissian, though. Yeah. Optimistic.
Yeah, got that. Ron Howard's directing it, so.
Mm-hmm.
You said Deadpool 2, Ready Player 1.
Incredibles 2.
Yeah, Incredibles 2. It's coming out. It's going to be... it's incredible. I'm sure it's going to be just like the first one, and it's animation, so they don't have to change anything.
Yeah.
Jurassic World 2 is coming out. I saw the trailer for it. It's pretty decent. I think they're learning their lesson from the last one, and they're righting some wrongs from that first one, but we'll see. Pacific Rim 2, that's coming out.
Ooh, Uprising. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard rumors in the beginning that the idea was for it to kind of like a Voltron where the four bots come together to fight that huge thing that invaded.
I think we're getting that from the trailer.
If we do, I hope they don't show it.
Yeah.
I want to see that at the theater. Yeah. I don't want to get ruined by watching it. That's the other thing that keeps me away from like
trailers,
TV.
Oh,
because I don't want to see that shit. Like, that's what I want to pay for. If you're going to give it away, then why don't you go watch it?
Well, that's the thing with Pacific Rim. Pacific Rim was fine, but I just wanted mechs and kaijus. Like, mechs and big monsters.
Yeah.
Giant robots, giant monsters. That's all I wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little bit of that. But this one, the trailer,
more.
That looks bam, bam, bam. There's all kinds of shit going on there. That just made me think of that. What about Rampage?
That, man.
It reminded me too much of San Andreas.
A little.
With him in the helicopter? Yeah.
Playing it in the arcade? How the fuck are they going to make that work into a movie? They actually gave it fucking substance. As far as the relationship between Dwayne's character and him being the zoologist and raising the huge chimpanzee or whatever the monkey is, the gorilla.
They gave it a backstory.
They gave it a backstory.
But
I'm curious that they're going to carry over Negan in this movie, because Jeffrey D. Morgan looks like he has that whole Negan thing, except he's got a suit and tie.
Yeah,
but I don't see that as a negative. I'm actually curious. I'll watch this opening weekend.
If there's not one person being ripped from a building and eaten, by one of those monsters, I want my money back.
I'm saving it for the crocodile. I bet the crocodile's gonna eat some motherfucker nasty.
People got to get eaten in this movie. That's all I want to see in that movie. All right. Did you watch Sicario?
No.
Okay. There's a sequel to that coming out, which I caught that late in the game. I just caught it earlier this year. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty good. It's on Amazon Prime, so that's why I checked it out. But I'll be checking out the sequel to that one. Creed 2, that's coming out.
Dude, Brock Lesnar as
I saw this
Brock Lesnar as Ivan Drago's kid.
Oh Jesus!
This is dude. Yeah, if they already did a good job of modernizing the boxing story by having Creed fight in the UK, because in the UK boxing is a whole lot bigger over there than it is here.
Yeah.
So if they're gonna take it one step further by modernizing the Rocky story, air quotation Rocky story, by having Adonis Creed actually fight a boxing match in the octagon with Ivan Drago's son, who's right now Brock Lesnar, former UFC heavyweight champion, fuck, take all my money. Yeah. I'm watching that at least twice because I was a big fan of Creed.
Isn't this really directed by Sylvester Stallone this time?
Yes.
Yeah. So that should be interesting.
Yeah.
I saw a trailer for Mortal Engines. It looks interesting. It's presented by Peter Jackson, so I guess he's a producer on it or something. Mm-hmm. But it looks they got me interest. It's kind of like a teaser, but they got my interest, so I'll be keeping my eye on that one. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's like a start of a new series or a new franchise or what, but they got my interest on it. So and then lastly for me, The Predator. Yeah, so they're finally that one's coming out in 2018. A lot of people shit on the Predators movie that came out a few years ago. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't great. It was kind of meh. I'm again, cautiously optimistic about this one. I'm hoping they go back to its roots and just have, you know, just a good Predator story. So that's hopefully.
Are there any movies from 2017 that for whatever reason you missed and you wished you saw?
Not really. Like, every year there's, you know, like the Oscar bait movies that come out, or the movies that people tend to talk about, and for whatever reason they don't interest me or whatever. So those movies, I probably should watch that type movie, but I just never get around to doing it. Mm-hmm. Well, fuck, I watched over 30 fucking movies this year, and all the TV series and everything else. Yeah.
You work! You got bills to pay!
Yeah! That too, by the way. I got so much time in a day, man.
I know.
Jeez.
Well, since you had a long-ass top 10, I'm going to just go over a couple of movies that I missed. You know, I still feel proud that I got 19 in this year, which is more. I think I did like 8 or 9 the year before that we did this, and I did fucking 19. I'm hoping to hit 25 this year. That's my goal.
Oh, okay.
25. One every 2 weeks.
That's your New Year's resolution?
Yeah, one every 2 weeks.
Well, you know, if you watch one Marvel movie
a week starting now, yeah.
You'll be caught up by...
No, please, no.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with Coco.
Okay.
Pixar's been doing some good movies lately.
Yeah.
I wanted to watch it until, thankfully, I waited, and I found out that you have to sit through a 25-minute Frozen commercial.
Yeah.
Musical commercial, and I have it.
Yeah.
Apparently, within the next week or so, they're
going to...
That turned me away to watch it. Within the next week or so, they're going to release it in the theater without that. Or it's just the trailers and you go straight into the movie. So then I'll watch it. My interest was piqued in the movie Downsizing with Matt Damon.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for that. Eh.
I'm curious to see how that story ends. That's probably.
I don't care enough to.
For all the raving building up to it that we wanted to watch it, I never got to see Atomic Blonde.
Really?
I never got to see it. I want to see it. I don't know why. It was a summer. There was a lot of movies going on that summer. And I traveled out of town. And then Hurricane Harvey.
Hmm.
So it took away a lot of time that I could have had watching movies. There was one more movie called Gook.
Gook?
Yeah, Gook. It's about two Asian guys that own a shoe store that during the first week of the L.A. riots defending
it. That title sounds racist.
From the first during the first few weeks of the LA riots in the 90s, mm. they tell a story of how they're defending their store and how they got there and the American dream. More importantly, me as a car guy, they have a classic Toyota Corolla AE86, an 86. And and it should be hitting DVD soon. It was released in August, and again, summer, traveling, hurricane.
Right.
And movies like that, they're limited release because they're only like in independent theaters.
Right.
So it's hard to watch stuff like that. That's the same thing with Your Name, the anime that apparently went gangbusters in Japan, where the guy and a girl, the kids, they're switching roles and they're in each other's shoes and they're learning about themselves and their situations and stuff like that. That got limited release here in the U.S. And again, I didn't get a chance to watch it because the independent, for some reason, the last couple of years, I've noticed a lot less independent theaters and a lot more, hey, come eat while you watch a movie.
Yeah.
So you don't get access to those movies and a lot of the Oscar stuff, and even whether it's for an Oscar or not. But still, I've always been a fan of, like, independent stuff. And it's starting to be a lot harder to find in the theater as opposed to later on where you could just rent the movie or...
You just got to catch it on the right, you know, because sometimes they'll release them, but it's
probably, 2 weeks and that's it. Yeah, just so they can be on the theaters enough for them to get into the ballot for fucking Oscars or Golden Globe and stuff like that. So,
yeah, but I think right at 2 hours. Wow, I think that's gonna call it a show. We're gonna wrap up. That was our recap of 2017. Looking forward to 2018. Gotta be better than 2017, right?
I sure hope so. Yeah.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed listening to us.
Banter.
Yeah. I was going to say blab, but yeah.
And old men yelling at clouds.
Yeah. Just wait till next year.
Shake harder, boy.
That's what she said. What? Oh,
eventually.
So, yeah, if you would be so kind, if you haven't done so already, go check us out on social media, facebook.com/popculturerewind. Also, Instagram. Just do a search for Pop Culture Rewind on there. If you're on iTunes, do us a favor. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a rate and review. Tell us we suck for all I care. But just give us 5 stars when you tell us we're bad. So, and we do appreciate any feedback that we get. Mm-hmm. So, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Until next time, always remember to pop your culture.
Top guys, out.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.